My sister, thank you very much for the opportunity to be with you.
It's been a while.
It has.
It's been a few years at least. I see a few greys have come since then.
You're not supposed to be telling everybody.
But they're saying those are pearls of wisdom. You know, the more greys we have, the more wise we are.
Oh, well, thank you.
You know, and I have them too, you know, and I'm not even 40 yet. So, you know, don't worry. You are in good company. Thank you so much for taking your time just to join us tonight.
It's an absolute pleasure.
We brought you in studio tonight because we're really carrying on with the theme that we started at the beginning of this year, where we're trying to get people and our listeners to think in a certain way, to have a paradigm shift, you know, because so many of us fall into the same habits every beginning of the year of setting resolutions and plans and saying, I want to be a better person, I want to do this. But there's no plan. There's no execution. And by February, by March, we're back into our old habits. And we're saying, let this be the year of transformation, the year where it happened and it happened for real.
Well, it's not a coincidence that we are meeting on the 21st of the month.
Okay.
It's 21 days into the year. Which means we should have broken every habit we had. It takes 21 days to form a solid habit.
Mm-hmm.
So on the 21st day, we are able to look into what it is that we spoke to on the 31st of December last year. And we began to say to virtually everybody who cared to listen and those who didn't really want to be listening, that this is what I'm going to be doing in the new year.
Mm.
And as it turns out to be 21 days later, it's time for review.
Yeah.
And what I want to be able to bring forth as we have conversations around resolutions is that we are meeting on the 21st and it is year 2018. Every time you've got an 8, you know it's a new beginning.
Mm.
And this tells us that we are about to be able to have a significantly new beginning to everyone that's right here in our country, right here at home, and wherever you may be located. This is the opportunity for you to be able to turn over a new leaf.
Now, let's talk about what may lead a person to turning over a new leaf. Because, you know, people may say, but why do I need to change? Why, right? You know, so much pressure.
It probably is useful for us to be able to establish why is it that most people fail on their own resolutions.
Okay.
And what I've come to appreciate is this. For most people, the reason they fail is that they don't have anybody that they account to.
Mm.
That's the first thing. The second thing is that it's all about me.
Yeah.
And anytime you're doing whatever it is that you're doing all about yourself, you will accomplish very little.
Mm.
What is really important is that your life is about someone else.
Mm.
You know, there's a beautiful thing that came through, and because many of the people who are listening are people who are followers of Christ, as it were, you will appreciate that at the time when Moses hung up and got into the mountains and had that special vision, he came back with tablets, with 10 laws, which was there to do.
Yeah.
Right? And then something beautiful happens, you know, 2,000 years ago, as we work to it now. There's somebody who walks around in sandals and he tells everybody the only two laws that you need to be able to fulfill.
Mm.
Go vertical and go horizontal. And many times we fail because we have not sorted out the vertical connection. You are here because somebody brought you here.
Yeah.
Whether you are an evolutionist or a revolutionist or a creationist, you were brought here. And when you are connected to the one who brought you here, and the message is, give everything to him. When you are clear about that, all things come together.
Mm.
The second law that he gave was horizontal. And the beauty about that horizontal law was that it was about the other.
Yeah.
It says, love your neighbor.
Mm.
And then, as yourself. Which means, start off by looking into what is happening around you.
Yeah.
And then find the solution to that, and come back to you and say, who am I? Why am I here?
Yes. Yes.
Think about the word resolution. It is broken down into re-solution. You cannot be having a resolution unless you are solving something. If you were to be engaging in a business setting, there would be a board.
Mm.
The board takes a resolution because they've resolved a particular problem after a significant discussion and debate.
Right.
If you're going to be able to come through and say, I have this resolution, but you've not had a conversation with yourself, chances are you are saying things to impress, not saying things that really, really matter and are going to be impactful. As we have a conversation today, in my preparation, I just thought I should be able to draw an example.
Yeah.
That comes from somebody whose history is intertwined with much of leadership.
Mm.
And he happens to be a guy who is not too tall. In my assessment, he was knee high. And his name is Nehemiah.
Nehemiah. Nehemiah. Yes.
Now, here is somebody who happens to be the cupbearer of the King Artaxerxes. At some point, his brother comes through to him. And he says, things are bad. Jerusalem lies in ruins. The walls have been broken down. And we are here just to let you know. Now, this is more than 70 years ever since the last time there had been any build-up taking place in Jerusalem.
Hmm.
70 years, and there's some magic around 70, you know that, between the two of us. Now, when he hears that, and this is really the thing that I want us to be able to look into when we're talking to his resolutions, he says, I sat down and I wept.
Hmm.
Far too often we say these things on our feet, not really caring about the impact of what it is that we're going to be doing, but the impact of what it is that we're going to be saying and who is going to be touched by it. Nehemiah sat and wept. And that weeping was a weeping over the city of Jerusalem, whose walls had been broken down.
Mm.
Now, what I'm going to be challenging everybody who's listening tonight is, what is it that breaks your heart?
Mm.
If there's nothing that breaks your heart, rest assured, you will have a resolution that you will break. By the time we come to the end of this month,
yeah,
you will not be at the gym. By the time we come to the end of this month, you will have taken an overdraft again. You said you're going to be financially free this year, and you're going to be cutting your credit cards. Rest assured, by the end of this month,
you're going to be back at square one.
And you will have gotten an additional card.
Ish.
And had a conversation with the bank manager and asked for a special overdraft. And the nice thing that you probably will be finding is that you will be engaging in relationships that break your heart all the time. These are things that happen. So the critical thing to be able to think about, when you're looking into resolution, what are you solving?
Yeah.
If there is nothing that's burning inside, chances are it's all going to be all about you. And when it's all about you, when somebody tries to be able to pull you back, you'll say, who are you?
Mm.
I know what I'm doing.
Mm.
And when there is no accountability, nothing really happens.
So what I'm hearing you say, Buyani, is that unless you change your actions, your habits will stay the same. And many who study neurology and they study how the mind works and they study neurons and they study how we attach memory. It is a very scientific thing. They say that technically speaking, once a habit has formed, you cannot break it. You cannot break a habit. But what you can do is replace that habit with a new habit, you know. So let's talk about, we've made mention of Nehemiah in the Word of God earlier on. I think we were talking off air about Queen Esther, you know, and Queen Esther wanted to save her people, and she and her uncle Mordecai, they came up with a plan, they executed and they stuck to it, and they achieved what they wanted to achieve at the end of the day. But you know, it takes a sense of, what's the word I'm looking for, intent.
But stay with that.
Yeah.
Queen Esther
gets
to be able to do something because there is a push.
Yeah.
Were it not for Mordecai, she would actually have not taken up the opportunity that was there.
Yeah.
It needed to be someone who was more accountable. Said, what if you were brought here for the time such as this? Mordecai said that.
Yeah.
For a long time, she had actually hidden her own identity. And so had Mordecai.
Mm.
So you actually have a situation where your true self will need to be able to come out.
So be authentic. Be authentic.
For as long as you are fake and you are someone else that you're not,
God can't use you.
Exactly. Exactly. And here's a story that often happens with most of us, is that we are common copies of everyone else except ourselves.
Mm.
When we've been given fingerprints that are uniquely ours, we are allowing ourselves to play up someone else's story. Who's going to be telling your story?
Mm.
Who's going to be leaving your story? Now, habits in themselves kick off first with the pictures we have. So what's the picture you have for yourself? We often make reference to this and we call it a paradigm.
Mm.
And Thomas Kuhn, who introduced that concept, he called it paradigma. It's the map you formulate in your mind.
Yeah.
And whatever that map is, it takes you to where you end up. Now, if my map is one that says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, guess what? I step into any space without any worry because I know for a fact that I'm going to strike fear. Not the kind of fear that says shake.
Yeah.
But it's the kind of fear that says when I begin to speak, I've got authority. And then I'm wonderfully made. Because whatever it is that I do, I bring wonder. Why? Because I believe I'm here to be able to bring and exemplify excellence.
Mm-hmm.
The moment I've got that, I walk into a space knowing for a fact that it's not about me.
Absolutely. We're talking about resolutions and also having a plan, and we want to win. This year we want to win. We don't want to come to the end of this month, like Buyani said, and you're back at the bank and you're asking for another overdraft because you haven't taken some steps to actually do what is different. You have a question for Buyani? Perhaps you have something you've been trying to change or something you've been trying to work on in year in and year out. Without fail, it is your resolution, but without fail as well, you fail at it, and because you get discouraged that you didn't do it, it starts to become a very destructive cycle. You get discouraged and you say, but what's the point of hoping anymore? What's the hope of wanting to change anymore? I've tried and I've failed, and this time around, we are here to encourage you to say it's not over. And tonight you are saying to yourself, I want to try again.
Mm-hmm.
I know that my life can change. I know that I'm not called for this. Maybe you're stuck in alcoholism. Maybe you know you are an abusive person. You
yep.
know that I have this streak of abuse in
yep.
me. And I keep saying, this year I won't do it anymore. This year, as in, I won't. I'm going to control my temper. I'm going to work on being a good person. And then at the slightest provocation, you're back at it.
And that often happens, primarily because we are letting what around us dictate so much that we disregard the inner person that is designed with so much greatness, as it were.
Mm.
Many years ago, I had a chance to be able to work with a gentleman who wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And you made mention of the role that I played at Franklin Covey. And one of the beautiful statements that Stephen would share with us is that you either are reactive or you are proactive.
Mm.
When you're reactive, you allow the emotions, the settings, the environment, and all of those things to dictate what it is you do when a stimulus comes your way.
Mm.
When you are proactive, and that's really the thing that I'm wanting to encourage everybody who's talking resolutions 2018 to be able to think about. First and foremost, be self-aware. If you're not aware of who you are, what is it that actually ticks you the wrong way?
Mm.
What is it that triggers the reaction that is really bad?
Yeah.
You are going to be able to fall for it again and again and again. But the second most important thing that is so unique with human beings, that is not in any of the creations that God brought into this universe, is that we've got an imagination.
Mm.
Imagination is better than knowledge, which means I can imagine a better future out of the things that everybody is looking at and passing by every day.
Mm.
I can see someone and something in them, and to a point where I'm able to lift up the best in them and play the role of coach with them. Mordecai did that with Esther. He did that because he began to appreciate that she had something that was there to be able to liberate a whole nation.
Yes.
If you cannot imagine, you are not going to be able to do it. Resolutions without a picture of what it is you're going to be able to become, because think about it, you're a human being.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a human doing or a human having. So many of us are thinking about what it is that I'm going to have by the end of the year. Guess what? When you concentrate on what you're going to have, chances are you're not going to have it. But when you concentrate on who you are going to be, the person you become is more able to create things that need to be.
Tonight we're taking your calls around issues of resolutions and planning and transformation as a whole, you know, because there comes a time in your life where you know that, you know, I need to kick this habit. I need to start becoming more ambitious. I've been complacent, I've been comfortable, I've been at my company for so long. God, you know, you say in your word, you know, that many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's only truly God that goes out there and directs your steps. And you're saying, God, this year I want you to do something different in my life. I want to grow spiritually, whatever your desire may be. It starts by what you're saying, by being conscious about why are you doing that? What are you trying to solve? What is the solution that you're bringing? Jablani in Durban, good evening.
Good evening. Can I pose a question to Vianne Manget?
Sure, go ahead.
Right. My question is, how do you think greed and ignorance impact on our ability to keep our resolution?
Say that again.
Greed and ignorance,
How do you think greed and ignorance impact on us keeping our resolution? Can I listen on the radio?
Maybe before you go, just perhaps expand further, because when you talk about greed, you're obviously talking about the desire to acquire more and have more more, you know, and then ignorance is lack of knowledge. I actually don't know how, you know. All right.
Right, exactly. That's what I mean. We are attached on Jesus saying you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. Which means looking around and seeing how the other person lives and how do I live, right? And then greed, in my understanding, means that as much as I may be looking around, but I don't care how the other person lives. And ignorance is what you just mentioned, maybe lack of knowledge. Because maybe lack of knowledge, I don't know how to keep my resolution.
All right. Thank you very much, Jablani. We'll come back to you in a moment, Buyana. I also just want to take Premi. She's in Pietermaritzburg. Good evening, Premi.
Hello.
Hi, Premi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
But before I carry on with whatever I want to say, I thank God for you.
Oh, wow.
And your colleague. I thank God because I'm Auntie Premi from Pietermaritzburg. I am 64 years old. And you blessed me in many ways. You have taken me forward. I wait to hear you every time. I don't know if you see me giving you messages. I pray me from PNB. That is me.
Oh, wow. Thank
I'm
you so
strong
much,
in my Jesus. I want to tell you, whenever I get into the new year, before I get into my new year, like December time on the 31st, I go into my church. I fellowship at Bethlehem Baptist. I'm a child of God for 42 years. I've given my heart when I was 21 years old. No turning back.
Amen.
No turning back for Jesus. And then I go into my church, and then from there I say what I want to do. I want to go back to work. I'm 64. I'm going back to work. I'm 31 years working. I'm going back to work, and yet I am going back to work. Whatever I desire on that night, on the 31st of December, because I start my old year and come out to the new year, 2018, I'm getting whatever I want.
Amen.
Hey, I'm getting whatever I want, my sister. I'm telling you.
Amen. I like
God
that.
God is good. Eh? I'm 64, but I'm working. I'm a working mother. I'm a breadwinner in my home. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me.
Wonderful.
Oh, amen. Thank you so much, Premi. What I love about her, she's talking about declaring it.
Yep.
She declares it. You know, she says she goes to church and she declares it, and she declares it over her life.
Sure.
You know, let's talk about, you know, taking your plans and bringing it before God. You were saying earlier on about business and about work, saying unless you dedicate it to God, you know, they say those who seek the hand of God in all they do, they'll eventually see the hand of God in all that they do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe let's go back into what Jablani was asking and was inquiring about the issue of greed and ignorance. When you take note of that, both of those are inward looking. It's all about me.
Yeah.
Greed is all about amassing as much as I can. It's an insatiable appetite for collecting.
Yeah.
It's collecting for me. And here's the truth, Jablani. You're not going to take it with you. And anybody who's listening, you're not going to take it with you. So you can amass as much as you like, you're not going to take it with you. The important thing is to be able to think about whatever it is that you're getting, you are a channel through which others are going to be blessed.
Mm.
If you're going to be adding it or pulling it all together, you're going to be just like that rich person that Jesus decides to be able to present in his parables. You know, somebody who's actually out there and said, I've got so much, I've got plenty, I need to have more barns in which I can store all of this harvest that I've come up with. And then God says, tonight, I'm going to call you. Now, just as he's still planning to be able to build more areas to be able to store things, God calls him. Now, if you have not touched the lives of others, they will actually be looking at that, and some will be dancing on your grave, and others will be pointing things at you, and pointing things at your family, and that's not what, really what you're looking for.
And ultimately, though, the people who will enjoy your money are the people you leave it for.
And because they have not earned it, they're going to squander it. You see, part of the thing that happens with most people is that there is no appreciation of that which you receive. When you get it without having worked for it, the conduct becomes one of squandering. Becomes one of, it's going to come anyway. When in fact, it's not going to come anyway. Somebody needs to be able to say to themselves, I'm here as a channel through which things are going to be achieved and be fulfilled. There's a second point that Jablani raised, which had to do with ignorance. Now, when you look into ignorance, the ignorance in two parts. There's ignorance that is there in terms of I ignore everything that's around me. So I insulate myself from all that's happening. In our country, we've got a whole lot of people who are telling you, every time we take them through, in I teach at the business school, and we take people over through to the township and say, I did not know this is happening. 23 years into freedom, 23 years into democracy, you did not know? No, because you chose to put blinkers around you.
Right.
These things happen. But there's also an ignorance where you're actually choosing not to be able to probe any further. Not research any further. And that ignorance is the one that gets to be cured by finding someone who knows something. Now, knowledge in itself does not help you. It is what you do with the knowledge that helps. It is when you do what you do with someone who has the wisdom of having walked the path that you're trying to get into, that really makes your knowledge worthwhile.
Absolutely. Premier, they're talking about declaring it.
Absolutely.
And I wanted to talk about the importance of, you know, the spiritual aspects to us and planning and resolutions. You know, in terms of bringing our plans before God and saying, God, these are the desires over my of my heart, you know, and praying over them, and also just having an understanding that ultimately the will of God will always supersede our will.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Here's the beautiful thing that, I mean, the imagery that we want to be able to be able to bring forward. And a whole lot of people are into various fasts at the beginning of the year. You know, some are on the Daniel's fast right now. When you think about it, we don't really have the account of what it is that Jesus did when he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. But we know what happened on the 40th day when he actually stepped out of it. And right there and there, his knowledge and his understanding of the word was tested. The devil began to speak to him, did God say? And all the time, he would be citing something that is scriptural. Now, many of us are coming into situations where we will say to ourselves, I will declare it. Pause for a moment. Is it in God's will? Jesus takes the time in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he actually goes and he prays three times. And on the third time, he confesses, not my will, but your will be done. Now, what he's doing is that he's becoming even more accountable, because at a time when he had had his conversation with the disciples and they had been observing him every time he goes through and he goes and secludes himself, he goes and prays. And I said, but we're praying. It looks like our prayer just bounces off the ceiling. Tell us, how should we be praying? And he comes through to them and he gives them two stanzas. The first thing says, we are inclusive, our Father. The kickoff is knowing you are a child of somebody. You were not here as a mistake. You were not here as things happened. You were here because somebody brought you here. Not your physical dad, Because you can have a physical dad that you actually even detest. Mm. But there is somebody who needed you in your mother's womb. And then he says, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Now, here's the thing. If it is to be that I'm going to be able to do, as Premier says, I'm going to declare, but it's not aligned to God's will, it's not going to happen. Because God is not a genie. And that's very important. We need to be able to appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
God is not an SOS signal. God requires of us to be able to give of ourselves to do this thing that we sometimes sing, surrender.
Yes.
We say that word without really thinking about it. And if you were to be able to play with the numbers that are associated with it, surrender has got 9 letters.
Mm.
The 10th one is God.
Wow.
So you're actually surrendering yourself and then handing over.
Yes.
And the completion of that is what resolution is.
Mm.
Because you ought to have found something that requires solution. If you have not thought about what requires solution, you're not going to get there. Moses does not matter until something burns. Someone gets to be ill-treated. He sees that, he hates it, and he goes and strikes a blow.
Mm.
And somebody comes through and says, are you making yourself Lord over me? And you want to kill me like you did to that Egyptian? And guess what? That sends him away for 40 years. And he gets to be tested. He gets to be pruned. He gets to be taught for a solid 40 years. He comes out of that. He is able to face Pharaoh.
Mm.
After he had been away in the desert. I mean, if you've ever been to the desert, a whole lot of people kind of like rave about, I've been to Dubai.
Yeah.
But you've been in Dubai in air-conditioned environment.
It's because of the desert.
If you were to be in the desert, you would appreciate the heat.
Mm.
And that was the thing that taught Moses. And it taught him so much that eventually, when he is called upon to go and let my people go, he's able to do that because there's something that is also burning in him.
Wonderful. You know, you've given us a lot to think about, Buyani, and before we let you go, are there any pointers you can give us just in terms of starting the process of putting our plans down and just in terms of, you know, saying, take a pen and a paper, do A, B, C, D, E, review it every week, just some things that we can leave our listeners with.
My proposition is that just look at your hand, you've got 5 fingers, and think about 5 people that matter in your life. Let those people be people who are going to be able to present some key tributes when you know more. And those tributes must be such that when you hear them, because you will be able to hear them, when those are being given, they are actually authentic, they are true, they are a reflection of what you have done while on earth and how you impacted them in their lives.
Mm.
If you have not done that, there is a challenge. Life is not about me. It's about us. You know, when Christ leaves, because I always spend my time mostly with people who are in leadership.
Yeah.
And what I communicate to every leader that I engage with is make yourself redundant. And Jesus says, before he leaves, it is good for you that I go. But here's now I'm going to give through to you one love message. One. So from 10 in Mount Sinai, from the desert, okay, coming down from the mountains, to 2 at the start of the ministry, we end up with 1. And that 1 says, as I have loved you, go love others. Love one another. If anything, first, love the next person.
Mm.
Give yourself for the other person. Second, find something that makes your sleep uncomfortable. Because when there is something that makes you sleep uncomfortable, you will wake up and do it.
Mm.
If you're sleeping too easily, it means you have not, you actually put blinkers and everything happening around you, you're not paying attention to. Third, find yourself a coach. Mm. Find yourself somebody who's going to be guiding you. But that coach is going to be somebody that you can be accountable to.
Yeah.
Esther gets to be able to do what she does because there's a Mordecai. Moses gets to be able to do the things that he does because he has a brother, Aaron.
Yeah.
And then he goes back. His father-in-law is a voice. Jethro is a significant person that sometimes we downplay, but it's critical for the freedom of the Jewish nation out of Egypt. It's critical to be able to do that. Fourth, you need to be able to think about what are the resources you need to get it done. Because if you have not thought about the resources, you will run out and then you'll start saying, it's not worth it, I might as well go back. Some of the resources have to do with time. Some have to do with people. Some have to do with money.
Mm.
There will be resources all the time. But more importantly, number five, take care of you.
Yes.
There's one of you and there aren't any replacements of you. We can do 3D generation of things. We will have a 3D arm, 3D everything, but there's only one of you.
Amen.
Therefore, take good care of you. You were given four unique endowments, and these have to do with your body, heart, mind, and spirit. You honor all four of those, you will touch lives.
Wow, your body, your mind, heart, and spirit.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Buyani, where can our listeners connect with you on social media?
It's pretty easy to be able to do that. At Buyani Zwane, that's my Twitter handle.
Mm-hmm.
At Buyani Zwane, that's my Instagram. And also Buyani Zwane on Facebook. And when you're looking to be able to have much more shared in your own working environment, you go solutions@breakthroughdevelopment.co.za. Solutions.
Mm-hmm.
At breakthroughdevelopment.co.za. And of course, you can email me, buyani@breakthroughdevelopment.co.za. And our website is www.breakthroughdevelopment.co.za.